But it's not just the return of the Jews to the land as a sign of the end times. It's also the Jews regaining control over the city of Jerusalem. Notice, if you will, Matthew 24 and verses 15 and 16. This is what we read. It's an event that happens about halfway through the tribulation period. Jesus says in verse 16, when the temple is desecrated, then those who are in, what does it say? Judea must flee. In order for this prophecy to be fulfilled, the Jews must be living where? In Judea. Zechariah 14 and verse 2 says, I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem. Speaking there of all of the nations coming against the Jews in Jerusalem. Well, if that prophecy is going to be fulfilled, the Jews must first be where? In Jerusalem. And what happened in 1967 is the Jews regained control of what is called the West Bank. I notice the speaker that's coming is going to be dealing with the subject of the West Bank. I like how he had West Bank with a question mark after it, because you don't find the expression West Bank in the Bible. The proper name for that territory is Judea and Samaria. And isn't it interesting that in 1967 the Jews got control of Judea and Samaria, and they got control of the city of Jerusalem? That is a key stage-setting event for all of the prophecies that I just mentioned. The Jews fleeing into Judea, the nations coming against the Jews in Jerusalem to be fulfilled. But the prophecies related to Israel go even further than that. The Jews must have a desire to rebuild their temple. Why is that? Because in the book of Daniel, chapter 9 and verse 27, we read this. In the middle of the week, he, that's the Antichrist, will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate. You see, the Antichrist will desecrate the temple midway through the tribulation period. Well, how can that prophecy be fulfilled unless you have a what? A temple. There are four temples in Jewish history, two past, two future. One was built by Solomon, destroyed by the Babylonians. Another one was built by the exiles returning from Babylon, destroyed by Rome. And yet the Bible predicts a third temple on the horizon. Let me give you the verses, if I can, that describe this third temple. Daniel 9:27, which we just read. Matthew 24, verse 15 talks about it. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4 talks about it, as does the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. You can't have a desecration of the Jewish temple unless you have a rebuilt Jewish temple. Amen? Only makes sense. Well, today you can visit the Temple Mount Institute in the land of Israel, in Jerusalem, and you could see a movement in place essentially to rebuild this temple amongst the Orthodox Jews. In fact, my wife and I, this is where we met Mike Smith, had a chance to go to the Temple Mount Institute. There's a picture of my wife and myself in front of the Temple Mount Institute, Beauty and the Beast, as I like to call it there. And they wouldn't let us take any photographs inside, but our host, Randall Price, took some photographs anyway. There's a picture of the giant menorah made of pure gold, which is extremely heavy, all prepared to exist in this rebuilt temple. There's sort of a layout of what the third temple is going to look like. And as you walk through that Temple Mount Institute, it's just an eerie feeling, because these unbelieving Jews think that they are building this temple for their Messiah. They're functioning without the light of the New Testament. And those of us that understand Bible prophecy understand that they're not building that temple for their Messiah. They're building that temple for the Antichrist. They just don't know it yet. But you see, that event, the desecration of the temple, can't just happen unless the stage is properly set in advance. Continuing on with prophecies related to the nation of Israel, Israel also has to have a mindset of peace at all costs. Why would I say that? Because the nation of Israel must enter into a treaty with the Antichrist, which will secure her future, as she thinks, wrongly, giving her a false opportunity for peace. So in order for that prophecy to be fulfilled, you have to have the unbelieving Jewish nation in a proper psychological state where they're reaching out to this group in exchange for peace, reaching out to that group, making some kind of offer in exchange for peace. And would you say that's happening today? Sure it is. Almost every time you pick up the newspaper, you see the nation of Israel being offered this peace treaty from one group, that peace treaty from another group. You can see how desperate Israel is to gain this peace treaty. That green area, as we've mentioned before, is Islamic countries. That little red dot is the nation of Israel. And how desperate they are to find someone, anyone, who will come along and guarantee their survival. And I would say the proper psychology is in place as we speak for the covenant that they will enter into with the Antichrist from Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. Those are just prophecies related to Israel. Let's look at a few more signs, if we could, stage-setting events. This second category relates to international politics. What in the end times will be the attitude of the nations of the earth? The Bible is very clear on this. One of the things the nations on the earth will despise is the nation of Israel. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 3 says this, "All nations of the earth concerning Jerusalem will be gathered against it." Zechariah says this, "It will come about in that day I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured." Israel becomes a burdensome stone in the last days. The nations of the earth will be in a state of perplexity concerning how they're going to deal with the nation of Israel. These are prophecies that must be fulfilled. And let me ask you a question. Would you say the stage is being set for that today? Very clearly, you look at the United Nations resolutions, one of the more recent ones. As our President Obama was leaving office, they offered a resolution indicating that Israel was occupying Palestinian territory, doing something illegal. And all the nations of the earth, many of them, the majority of them, jumped on the bandwagon. You have UNESCO, who argues that there really is no archaeological proof that the Jews were ever in that land. I can't think of it. That's like making a statement that objects don't fall at 32 feet per second. Almost everywhere you turn in the land of Israel, you see evidence that the Jews were once there. Yet here comes UNESCO arguing that the Jews were never there. Ezekiel 38 and 39, as we've talked about in this conference, predicts this conglomeration of nations coming against Israel in the last days. And it's amazing how the stage is being set with these precise nations for the fulfillment of these prophecies. Some other signs related to international politics is this idea that the nations of the earth must have an appetite to divide Israel's land. The prophet Joel, chapter 3 and verse 2, predicts this. It says, "I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Then I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my inheritance Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have divided," what? "My land." Notice that God calls the land of Israel His land. It doesn't belong to the world community, it belongs to God. And Joel 3 and verse 2 predicts that what is going to bring the wrath of God to this world in the tribulation period will be one major sin. And that major sin is an appetite on the part of the international community to divide the land of Israel. Would you say the stage is being set for the fulfillment of that prophecy?